God opens up ways of fellowship. And this evening I want to look at how the Lord is ever mindful of fellowship. And that is the reason that we are saved. We are created and made for His worship, for fellowship. That is the primary aim in our Father's heart. And we might not always be aware of this. We have to be taught this and shown this, but that is ultimately our Heavenly Father's heart, is that we walk in fellowship, a covenant relationship with Him. And that is the goal for the overcomer. In fact, that is the destiny for the overcomers, which is to enter into fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. That is the open door. That is the deeper life. That deeper life is fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And if the bride who's making herself ready is not aware of this and experiencing this, then she's not really called as a bride. And we know that not all are going to enter in to this marriage. We know this by Matthew 24, the wise and foolish virgins. So the wise virgins have seen with that extra vessel of oil that their walk and commitment is a fellowship and a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is its ultimate goal. And this evening we're going to look at how God is ever working this in your life and my life. Let's turn firstly to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. And it says here, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the apostles come absolutely clear here to the Romans that God is not only faithful, which we were looking at the other week, His faithfulness, but He says you are called, so there's a calling to this, and you are called from the foundation of the earth to have fellowship with His Son through Jesus Christ our Lord. But we need to also learn from the scriptures and understand in our everyday walk with the Lord, how he's working and accomplishing this. And this can only be achieved by abiding, remaining with the Lord. That might sound obvious, but we don't always do this. And again, we need just to remind ourselves in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and particularly verse 4. John 15, and especially verse 4. And here, in of course, in this great chapter, it speaks about the true vine. And in this, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And what Jesus was speaking about here is primarily fellowship, one with the Father, walking in fellowship, in covenant with him. And he says that you have to abide, you have to remain in the vine for that experience to be accomplished and worked in your life here on earth. And this is what he's doing. This is why we have the Deeper Life teaching, because its whole emphasis is about your relationship that you have with Almighty God. And this fellowship can only be accomplished if we are abiding and we are one with him, hence we're one with each other. We cannot have fellowship with each other unless firstly our fellowship is established from him, because everything flows from him. And that foundation needs to be absolutely right, as we don't have a true fellowship. He says that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his grace and mercy. We know that, don't we, in Romans 8. And therefore, in light of fellowship and maintaining that fellowship, we are learning more and more that whatever we face, whatever we go through, nothing, no trial, no tribulation is going to separate me from that fellowship that I have with Almighty God. This is the ultimate goal. This is the aim of the deeper life, that you experience that unbroken fellowship 24/7 in whatever state, whatever circumstances, whatever we find ourselves in. My relationship is not broken as a result. And that is why we have the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, because the blood of the Lamb, which we confess over our lives and overcome, maintains and keeps that unbroken fellowship that we have with him and each other. And he brings us through every trial for one purpose: to continue to work and show unbroken fellowship. So whatever trial you have gone through, or you went through today, or you are going through, the purpose of that trial, whatever it would be, is to show you that fellowship doesn't break as a result, or is not hindered in any way. He is still the same, and he wants your faith and heart in him still to be the same. And this is why we're brought into submission to his ways. For the one main purpose, obviously, as we're saying, for fellowship. And this idea of fellowship, unbroken fellowship, is his working in our lives every day, every second, every moment. And his workings are always in nature redemptive. I'm always going on about this, but there is a good reason. Because everything that you face, everything you go through, No matter how small or great, in nature it is redemptive, and thank God it is, because its purpose is to maintain and keep that fellowship that we have with Him. But fellowship also sadly requires at times trials and pain. And yet we find, don't we, so often at the first trial, what do we manifest? Self-pity, unbelief, grumbling, moaning, fear, all those things that try to consume us and take over in those trials. Yet He's trying to reveal to us our fellowship doesn't break. You know, Daniel learned this one, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace. They had learned something about fellowship with Almighty God. Because as we know, right in that fire, that consuming fire, was another one seen, the pre-incarnate Christ. And why did He appear in those flames with those men? He was showing that nothing breaks fellowship with Almighty God. No earthquake, no hurricane, whatever we experience, whatever we go through, nothing breaks that fellowship that we have with Almighty God. And that is why your trials that you're going through are so purposed and designed, because each trial we go through is to reveal and show to us that our fellowship doesn't change. If we abide in Him, which is the desires of our heart, then our fellowship doesn't change one iota. Yet He has that way, doesn't He, of drawing us into fellowship with Him. And no finer way to experience that than when we go through our trials and tribulations. So we know that whatever we are facing, we know that it's working together for good, because the basis behind it is that I might know that fellowship, that unbroken fellowship that I have with Him. You see, Jesus entered this fellowship with His Father, this unbroken fellowship. How did He know this? Well, He met this when He went to the cross. He knew that nothing would separate Him from His Father. This is why He went to the cross. And when He gave up the ghost, He said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Nothing could break that fellowship, for He was one with Him. And this is what God wants to reveal to each one of us. And it took the cross for Him to go on to that cross, to reveal to the world that He wasn't separated from His Father, which of course JDS teaching tries to teach, that He had went down into hell, into Hades, and there had to, in a sense, be reborn again and raised up the third day. Absolute heresy. The nature of the cross is to show that the cross doesn't break our fellowship with Almighty God. That's its whole purpose. Every time you look to the cross, you will see from the cross relationship cannot and will not be broken from our Heavenly Father. It didn't for Jesus, and it won't for you. That is why we walk the way of the cross. This is why we also take up our own cross and follow Christ daily, because that reveals to us fellowship cannot be broken at all. The cross tells us that. And yet the world's view of looking at the cross is despair, sorrow, sadness. It's just a cross placed on an altar. That's the understanding that the world has of it. They all wept at the cross. Their emotions were there, but they weren't seeing further what actually the cross does. The cross reconciles, the cross brings us into unbroken fellowship with God 24/7. And when we begin to grasp this and have a revelation of this, this is going to change us. And even when the trials come, we're going to view and see them so differently. We're no longer beheld in that self-pity, poor me, look what I'm going through, and unbelief and all the fear that comes out of it. This is how the Christian church is going to stand in these last days, through the fiery furnaces. You've got to understand, brothers and sisters, that the life in you, which is Jesus Christ, is in complete fellowship and unity. Your oneness that you have with Almighty God is complete, absolute unity of fellowship, and nothing can ever break that. Else God would not do the work that he is doing. He wouldn't even save us, or whatever it would be. So your salvation is so unique, because your salvation is a unity and oneness with Almighty God, and in that oneness you have perfect fellowship with the Godhead. This is what's so profound in our salvation. Let's turn to some scriptures just to remind us of this. Let's turn to Ephesians. Now, of course, Ephesians is all about the body of Christ, its unity, its oneness, the bride making herself ready. It's the revelation of the church under new covenant. That's its emphasis. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, verses 14 to 17 of Ephesians chapter 2. And it speaks about in our relationship with him where we have received of his peace. And he says here, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself a new man from the two, thus making peace. So of course what he's saying is that in Christ's body, in his flesh, and that's what it represents, he was a sin bearer. Remember when the sacrifice was slain on the altar, the judgment was placed on its flesh. That's why it had to be slain, it had to die. Judgment, the judgment of the world, sin was placed on the flesh of Christ, not on his spirit, not him, his unity, oneness with God, as JDS teachers preach. Because if he became sin, he would need a savior to save him. The Bible shows in sacrifice he became a sin bearer. He took the punishment of our guilt upon him. But in spirit, he was one with the Father. You cannot separate the Godhead. Because he said at the cross, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He didn't go down into Hades and had to be born again after 3 days, which so many teach. That is absolute heresy. It is in his sin, in his flesh, he became that sin bearer. We're reading it here. What he did in the flesh, he dealt with the law, he dealt with condemnation, he dealt with everything of the past to bring now peace. Peace means reconciliation, a oneness now with Almighty God. And the veil was rent in two, so that we now have access into the holy presence of God, which only the high priest had once a year for the sins of Israel. We now share and have 24/7, that fellowship in his presence. That is why we're now called a royal priesthood. It's profound what Christ has done for us, so as to create in himself a new form, the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So we now have that unique standing and relationship that we come through Jesus Christ to the Father. For what purpose, brothers and sisters? For fellowship. Walking in that unbroken fellowship with God, restoring us back to the revelation of what we were created and made for, and that is for his glory, for fellowship, to walk with him. We also see in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, again it speaks about here of our walk in unity and oneness. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. That is why we are called into the body of Christ, and we walk and we fellowship with each other, bearing with each other. That is the unity and oneness of the Spirit that we have. And he goes on, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as they were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, and so on. Here again, we get the idea and understanding of fellowship. We have all been brought together in fellowship, but unless we abide in the vine, as we looked at in John 15, that you abide and remain there, then we have no basis of fellowship. It will be a different type of fellowship, but not a fellowship that we have one with the Father. And this is why when the true body of Christ experiences this true oneness and fellowship, the body will stand. It will be able to stand any trial and tribulation. We know through history how the enemy has tried to destroy the true body of Christ. But thank God it stands upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And this is why the church is being restored again in these last days through the outpouring of the Spirit, so that she will stand in true unbroken fellowship with our Heavenly Father and each other, and nothing can separate or break that fellowship. This is why the church stands and has stood through the centuries and will stand until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to return and set his kingdom upon the earth. This is why fellowship is so important, it is so powerful, it cannot be broken. And the powers of darkness try to break our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and each other. They are the main attacks that we face as overcomers, as Christians. That's where he attacks every time. And he tries all sorts of things to try and break that fellowship. But it cannot be broken if we abide in the vine and we are one with him. Nothing can break that. The scriptures are absolutely clear on all of that. So in this fellowship, one thing we have to learn, brothers and sisters, you are not your own anymore. You have been bought with a great price by the blood of the Lamb. He has purchased you and I from the foundation of the world. There was nothing in any of us that appealed to our Heavenly Father in the sense of value. Some of us were not of more value than others. We're all one, equal. We're all one at the foot of the cross. Our Heavenly Father chose in His heart to save you and I. As we know so well, it's not within us to choose God. He chooses us. But we still have a free will. Because you can throw away that gift. People can give us gifts, and we can do two things. We can keep it, or we can throw it away. And we can do exactly the same. But if we truly receive that priceless gift, then we will value it with our whole soul, mind, and being. And that is the point. But you are not your own anymore, because you have now been bought with a price. And therefore, because of that, you can't hide from Him. You have no private life anymore. Your life is now His. His life, the life of Christ, now lives and walks and is through you. Because of His fullness we have received. And therefore, we have no independent spirit. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's now a life that's yielded over completely to Him. And we have to yield for this to work. Because if we resist, we're no good for Him. We're no good for the work that He has for us. We're certainly of no blessing where fellowship is concerned. We're no good for ministry and what He wants to work and do through us. And it's going to rob us of our inheritance and rewards in heaven. I'm not saying that you won't be saved, but what I'm saying is to have this fellowship, to understand this fellowship and experience this fellowship makes you of great value in His sight. That is the whole point. That is what He wants. That is what He's looking for. This is why the bride is making herself ready now in these last days, because she has seen our Heavenly Father seeks for fellowship, unbroken fellowship. And when we experience this and walk in this, this is where we can be used. This is where the greater works come. This is where we are of use. This is where we are lights in this world of darkness. Because in our fellowship, wherever we go, whatever we say, we are taking Jesus with us. The life of God shines in darkness. It's not about you. It's not about me. You know, ministry has got it so wrong today. My ministry, what I am doing for the Lord, I am helping to build His kingdom. You can't do it that way. It only comes as we yield over, and He does it through us. Brothers and sisters, when I preach to you, my heart's desire and prayer is always that you hear God speak through me. It's about Him, not about my views, my thoughts, or what I think it should be. It's got nothing to do with that. As a preacher, teacher, you yield over to the Spirit. Then the revelation of truth starts to be taught you, which is called the unction, the anointing of the Spirit. There are too many preachers today that you hear too much about them, their life, what they are doing for the kingdom of God, and so on. This world today doesn't want to see any more Kim Pages or any other ministers or whatever it is. This world today that's dying wants to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ living his life in and through each of us. It's not about us. It's about the life that lives in us. And unless we yield to this, unless this is the desire, the very want of our heart, we are never going to see any breakthroughs in these last days. And that is why we have to bow the knee. This is why pride has to be dealt with. Because sadly, too many Christians today have the devil on their back. But this is the way God removes him, so that then he and he alone can take over. It doesn't lie within us. None of these things, even to have fellowship, which what we're talking about this evening, it doesn't lie within us. Even God has to empower and help us, even with this fellowship. And the only way we will ever experience this, yes, you've thought it through. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself that living sacrifice upon the altar, because you can do no more than bring your life, your heart, your being, and present yourself on that altar. And God will do the rest. That's what he wants. It's called your heart. Your heart is the seat of your emotions, your affections. That's what we mean when we speak of the heart. And when you surrender that over, yield it over, then God begins to take over and work. And one of the things you start to experience pretty quickly is you start to enter into fellowship with him. That unity and oneness that we have. This is why Christ came, to bring us into the unity and oneness with our Heavenly Father. This is why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, Our Father in heaven. Look, it opens up straight away with that. What is that telling us? It's telling us about our fellowship, our oneness that we have with him. And when we experience this, then we begin to see more and more the unity and oneness in the body of Christ. What our fellowship is all about. Why we come together. Why we desire to sing praises, to exhort one another, to listen to the word of God, to pray and intercede. It all makes sense. It's where I belong. This is right for me. You see, we no longer then become Sunday Christians, which sadly so many are. We start to realize that church potentially is every day. This is what it's about, our unity and oneness. But brothers and sisters, as I finish with this, God opens up ways of fellowship for us. And it's whether you want him to do that. Because, like everything, it's free, but it's not cheap. And there's always a working that God does and will do if we want to go deeper with him. And it might mean some trials and testings. It might mean that he has to strip us of things that are hindering, that are stopping us from going deeper with him. This is why self-pity, unbelief, frustration, anger, and a lot of Christians are not honest, but a lot of Christians are actually angry with God. This is a big problem in the house of God, but they don't come clean. And the reason being is because they can't get their own way. We're going to one day thank the Lord that he stops us many times, Because if he doesn't, it could be the ruination. So friends, it's yielding over. It's not fighting him. And when he requires things, or he says, I don't want you to do that, or whatever it is he's dealing with in our lives, don't fight it, just yield over. And the power of God will work in your lives. He'll put that affection within your heart. He'll change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, which he's doing. Because unless our hearts are right, we will always, like a dog, go back to our own vomit. And that's what he's delivering us from. Because too many times we're finding ourselves going back to the same old thing. But eventually, he's going to get our attention, because he's working within us both to will and do for his good pleasure. Because the life of Christ in you is far greater than any of your weaknesses, your unbelief, whatever it is you're battling with. He has overcome, and he is greater. And that is why we constantly keep our eyes looking to the cross of Calvary. Because as we look there, that is our fellowship, that is our overcoming, that is our victory. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bless and thank you, Lord. You always have the right answer. You always have the right teaching that we should hear. It is that precious manna that we can feed on, that nourishes us and gives us life and supports us and strengthens us. Lord, again tonight we thank you for this time of fellowship online. I thank you, Lord, for bringing my brothers and sisters from near and far. Lord, we know tonight that it is a divine appointment, that none of us are here by mistake. It is by your grace, your love, and your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to do this work, and that we, each of us, will experience this fellowship that we have been saved and redeemed for. That we walk in that unbroken fellowship 24/7, Father. That is the desire, the want, the longing of our heart. And if it isn't, Father, then please put it within us to long, to believe, to stay with it, whatever it takes. Because we know that fellowship means experiencing your fullness in and through us. And I believe it is that that will get the world's attention. That people will begin to change, to believe, to turn away from their sin. Father, I thank you also that your church is united in true fellowship, that unbroken fellowship. And it is upon the rock of Jesus Christ that it has stood, and we each of us stand. And we know that that's immovable, resolute, never changes, and is always the same. Because it's Jesus. Father, please make what we have heard today a reality in our lives. Let it not just be another teaching, another meeting, but let each of us, Father, go away experiencing what you have said tonight. Father, my desire and prayer is, as a teacher and preacher, that they will live and experience this. They will know of this unbroken fellowship. But the trials they will go through and are going through, they know and will know that this is all about fellowship. It's opening up ways. It's revealing more. It's showing more and particularly in trials, that fellowship is there, it doesn't change. Lord, we see in the Word of God many of the saints who walked with you, who went through great hardship and trial. But those trials and hardships were designed in such a way that they would experience that unbroken fellowship. Lord, unless we experience that unbroken fellowship, we will always retract from our trials. We will always have that self-pity, that unbelief or anger against you. We'll always find some excuse as to why I can't overcome or why I can't believe. But Lord, as we yield over to you, we will begin to see and experience in that unbroken fellowship that, yes, I had to go through that. There was a reason why I went through that great trial and tribulation. Because you were showing that nothing changes our fellowship with you. That is why you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you that your word, your everlasting word, is life to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be with us all. You'll ever preserve and keep each one of us. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. Father, keep us from the evil one, from the tempter. Father, keep us in your mercy from sickness and disease. May our whole being glorify you in mind, body, and spirit. For this we ask in Jesus' name.
Jesus is